We're in the midst of a lot of great things happening in this church, and for that reason, with that 5 o'clock class, we've purposely shortened the sermons on these Sunday nights as long as we're having that class, and so we're just trying to study through 1 Peter. If you look at the opening slide of the lesson tonight that says, "Be holy as He is holy," down at the bottom of it, you may not be able to read those words right at the bottom of the screen, but it says, "Lessons for Sojourners, a Study of 1 Peter." That's really the scope of what we're trying to do. This is not our citizenship. Our citizenship is in heaven, and we're foreigners, we're aliens, and we'll someday be going back to the homeland, and that is to the place that Jesus has gone to prepare for us. And we're just sojourners here. We're just marking the time until Jesus comes back. And that's why we are sojourners. And so 1 Peter has in it lessons about living. And the way that David and I are trying to approach this, we preach until we reach a stopping place. And I thought it was interesting last week, David introduced the sermon by saying, we're sometimes try to cover 2 verses and sometimes 3 verses. And you may last week recall that he covered 3 words. And that's not to be critical of him. What a great lesson it is that he presented for us. But for hopefully tonight, we're going to cover 4 verses. And we're going to do that because we've already covered 2 of them. So let's open your Bibles up to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want us to talk about that verse that says, "Be holy as I am holy." Does that bother you? I mean, you look at the last verse that's in this, well, starting in verse 15. "As He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all of your conduct. As it is written, be holy like I am holy." Does that make you want to quit thinking I'll never be able to do that? I remember that verse in the Sermon on the Mount, one of those early sermons that I remember that says, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." And I thought, I might as well quit. I will never, ever, ever be able to fulfill. And it's so obvious what God said. Now, I didn't understand the word perfect is used in the Bible means to be spiritually mature. You know, I always thought the word perfect means don't ever make a mistake. And so whenever the Sermon on the Mount says, "Be perfect as God is perfect," I thought, I cannot do it. I might as well stop right here. But don't you sort of get that same feeling when you read a verse that says, "You be holy like God is holy"? So what I want us tonight to do is to use 1 Peter and to look at the things that are found in this passage in verse 13 through 16 as to what it means to be holy. And when we get to the end of this lesson, hopefully all of us can say, you know, I believe I can do that. Not that I can be sinless and perfect and not that I can have the holiness like God is holy that we sang about, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And they'd never sing that about you, or would they never would sing that about me. And yet the verse says, "Be holy as I am holy." Let's look back in verse 13 to some of the things we have already looked at in verse 13 that says, "Gird up the loins of your minds." And that is, it's time to get serious. And he says, "Be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you in the revelation of Jesus Christ." What does it mean to be holy? Well, we need to understand we have 2 ways of living. And as we look at this passage, we're going to look at the words that are found in each of these verses individually and put a list on one side of the screen about what unholy people are like. Only on the other side of the screen, we'll put the opposite of the word that's there. Sometimes the positive words will be on the one side, will be in the verse, and so we look at the negative word. Sometimes only the negative words will be there. And so we'll look over, and so we'll put that negative word and put the corresponding word that is the positive of that negative word. What's the first thing he says? The Bible says, if you're going to be holy, you've got to be sober. What does that mean? Well, there are 2 Greek words that are used in the Bible to describe holiness. One of them is the word that we normally use every time we think about he's very sober-minded. It means he's wise. That Greek word, by the way, is sophron, and we get the word sophistry from it. Here's that individual that is very sober in his mind, and he's very spiritual. Sometimes we'd use that almost as an equivalent word. Guess what? The word that is used in this passage is not that word that talks about being serious-minded. It's a different Greek word. And the word is nepho. And every time I mention a Greek word, I hear my father from the times long ago and say, "Dan, don't talk about Greek so much when you're preaching. If you talk about it so much, people will be convinced they can't go to heaven if they don't know Greek." Well, that's as far removed as anything. But sometimes there are shades of meanings in Greek words that we can have the equivalent definition in English, but that's not the word that was used there. And so when the Bible here uses the word "be sober," it's not the word being wise and mature and serious-minded. The word "nepho" is defined by Vine's Dictionary of Greek Words as being free from the influence of intoxicants. Well, somebody said, "No, I'd rather be the other." But here's a word that says free from the word "sober." And somebody said, "Well, now we don't ever use that word that way in English." Would you have someone that's going to a 12-step program? How long have you been clean and sober? You know what they mean by that? They go to that AA meeting, or they're part of that meeting, and whenever they've been 4 weeks being clean and sober, they get this little symbol that they can keep. Some of you may remember Richard Cole. You remember Richard Cole the Bear? It's got to be back in the old building 20 years ago. But Richard struggled with the drink. He told me, he said, "Dan, I started drinking when I was 11. He said, I was raised in a foster home, and what a life he had lived. Came to Florida, and he found the Lord Jesus. And I don't know if you remember Richard. He kept that on the little chain, every one of those little plastic things that he got. And Richard had one that reached from his waist almost all the way down to his knee. It's a reminder that I've been clean and sober." What does that mean? Well, that's this Greek word here. We use that word in English to talk about an individual in that context in reference to alcoholism is, "I've not been drinking." And so Peter writes, and Peter says, if you're going to be a sojourner, you have got to be free from the influence of intoxicants. That's an amazing thing. And that in and of itself does not allow us just to, I remember talking to one of the young men in this congregation who's no longer here. He says, "I don't drink much. I only drink until I get the buzz." He said, that's how far I drink. Well, wait a minute. If you only drink till you get the buzz, guess what? When you get the buzz, you're already way, way beyond that being free from the influence of intoxicant. I think it's rather remarkable that we have allowed the world to define sobriety. And so we got legal laws. And by the way, there are differences between states and differences between nations. The level of alcohol that's in your system. And we've allowed the world to set this is what... I can drink as long as I just don't hit that level. Well, hang on just a minute. It's sometimes we've allowed the world to decide what is fit for our children to watch. That PG-13 does not mean, young people, that when you reach the age 13, you're now allowed to go to movies that you might not have been allowed to go to before. You see, the world doesn't set that level of what morality is for us. And the world cannot set for us the level of drinking when the Bible says you be nepho. What does that mean? You be free from the influence of intoxicant. Now, that's not the way the world is, and that's why on the other side of that, we've got the word not sober. Let's look again. The Bible says, you be sober and rest your hope fully upon the grace. Are you aware the Bible describes those who are in the Gentile world as having no hope and without God in this world? You know what you have? As a sojourner, you have hope that can rest fully, listen to this, on the grace of God. You see, that idea that I've got to be sinlessly perfect in order to go to heaven leaves the matter of grace out. And I really like what Dan Winkler said when he talked about the disgrace of grace. And he says that individual who says, I've got to live sinlessly, he's going to go to heaven by his own efforts. He doesn't need grace. I've made it. I've not made a mistake since I became a Christian. But here's that child of God. And while he may be trying to live a sinless life, he knows and God knows that he'll make mistakes. And you and I need to have an appreciation of the fact that when we humbly serve the Lord, there is grace and we can rest assurance fully in the grace of God. I've said this before, but this statement has helped me so much in my life. Remember Bill Powell, a deacon of this church many years ago, whose 12-year-old boy had sort of talked about being baptized and had not been baptized, and then he was killed. He was delivering newspaper, and somebody hit him while he was out delivering newspaper. And Bill Powell was so concerned about the fact, I wish Scotty had been baptized, and he was gravely concerned about it. And Bill Hatcher still lives in the hearts of some of us in this congregation who was preaching at that time. And Bill Hatcher said to Bill Powell, Bill Powell, you know how much you want Scotty to be in heaven? Oh, yes. Bill Hatcher said, you don't want him there half as much as God wants him there. How much does God want you in heaven? But Dan, I'm going to stumble. I'm going to make tons of mistakes. But I'm going to get up every time I've stumbled. I'm going to try again. There's why there's grace. And that is why we can rest with confidence that by the grace of God we shall be saved. These are the words David looked at last week whenever he says, as obedient children, that's found in verse 14, not conforming yourself to the former lust in your ignorance. You see, they are those who are obedient. And on the other side, there's a life that says disobedient. The disobedient is that individual who stumbles, but the disobedient in view in this verse is that individual that says, I don't care what God says about this. I may yield to Him in so many parts of my life, but I don't care what God says about this. I'm going to live this way. That's a heart of rebellion. It's a heart of rebellion. The illustration that I've used before and I've used recently in a class situation, here's a child. And Ivy, you and Amber need to know that precious little child is going to spill the milk. She's going to have that little glass of milk. Fortunately, going to have that sipper cup. But one of these days, be big enough to leave the top off that sipper cup. That child's going to put that little cup right beside his plate. And he's going to knock it over. Why? Because he's got short arms. You ever try to pick up that baby and try to get your baby to put his hands together like this or like this? Your baby can't get his hands up much farther than this. And so when he puts his glass down, he always puts it on the side. Amber, you don't make the mistake that dumb Dan did and say, child, don't spill your milk. Aren't you listening to me? You put your glass to the left or to the right of your plate and see how many times you knock it over. But you see, that's a mistake made out of personal weaknesses, not having long enough arms. But if you tell that child, don't you spill your milk, and he looks up at you, and he puts his hand out there, and he slaps over the glass of milk, that's disobedience. God is gracious to those of us who spiritually have short arms and sometimes fall short of the will of God, but the disobedient says, I don't care what God says about this. I'm going to do it anyway. Disobedient. What does it mean to be holy? It means that I'm not disobedient. Look again when he says, as obedient children. David talked about this last week, and that is, not a child of God or a child of God. John says, 1 John chapter 4, verse 1, behold what love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called sons of God. We may feel like the prodigal. I'm not worthy to be a son. I make tons of mistakes. Been in the foreign country, been living an ungodly life, and the Father says, you're my son. And that ought to give us hope about going to heaven. Look again. When he says that you are an individual who is not conforming yourself to the former lusts. It's interesting, the word lust has both a good and a bad connotation. Who was it that was at the table this morning? Was that Cain that was at the table this morning that read from 1 Peter, from Luke chapter 22, or where the Lord's Supper is instituted, and where Jesus says, with desire have I desired to eat this supper with you. You know what that word there is? With lust I have lusted to eat this supper with you. You see, desires are not in and of themselves wrong. And Jesus said there are righteous desires, but there are these lusts that the Bible says, conforming yourself to your former lusts. And that's the way the world lives. Love not the world. What's in the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know what's wrong with America? You know what's wrong with our world? There is no restraint in our society. There was a time when there were hypocrites on this earth. It's been a rather long time since I've seen a hypocrite. You know why? We broadcast our sins. If I say Facebook, does that give you a clue? That you and I need to recognize that which individuals did in private and tried to hide from others oftentimes is now on the front page of the newspaper, openly. But that's not us. We are not conformed, molded and shaped, and put into the box that the world says, this is what you look like in the 21st century. And we form ourselves as concrete is poured into a mold, and we conform ourselves to that mold that the world has placed around us. Oh no! Paul says, you be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You write the Word of God first in your memory and then in your heart. And let the words of God transform you. Let the words of God renew your mind. And that's when transformation takes place. And so we are those individuals who have been transformed by the renewing of our minds. But then he talks about the fact, through your ignorance, aren't you glad that you know about God? If I say Adam and Eve and Noah and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, if I say Moses, if I say Joshua, if I say Caleb, if I say King Saul, King David, King Solomon, if I say Peter, Andrew, James, and John, Aren't you glad that you know that? And it is that ignorance that is in the world that causes the world to be conformed to the values that are found in this world. But you and I, because we know the lessons that come from Abraham and from Adam and from Noah and from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and Joshua and the judges and the kings, that makes us to be different people. And that's what is involved in this matter of holiness. But look again. Verse 15 says, "He who has called you is holy. You be holy." God calls everybody. We talked about this in the 5 o'clock class. Whosoever will, let him come. But there's no response from the world. And we who have heard the call of God become the called out of God. We heard the call. And we responded and came out of that darkness into the kingdom of light, into the kingdom of His dear Son. And we have been called. And how thankful we ought to be that the Lord wants us in His family. We may feel unworthy. We may be discouraged because sometimes we're not everything that we want to be. But you and I need to understand that we have been called to be holy. But wait a minute. It says, I've got to be holy like God is holy. There's some things you and I need to have an understanding of, and that is an appreciation of what is involved in holiness. We don't have time to fully develop this point about being the things that's involved in being holy. But can we understand that there's holiness around the throne of God? Holy, holy, holy is not just a song we sang. It was sung 750 B.C. in Isaiah chapter 6. The song Holy, Holy, Holy is not a song that was sung just because we sang it a few minutes ago. It was sung when the book of Revelation was written. Holy, holy, holy. And the Bible says that they sing that song over and over and over and over again. Holiness is associated with God. But listen to this. God takes common and ordinary things and makes them holy. I want you to get this. You'll not understand how we can be holy like God is holy until we understand what was meant the very first time the word holy was found in the Bible. The word holy is not in the book of Genesis. You've got to get to the book of Exodus before you ever read the word holy. You know where it's used? Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. How on earth can common, ordinary dirt be holy? It's used in reference to animal sacrifices. It talks about those blood sacrifices that were offered, and they're called holy sacrifices. I sometimes wonder if that expression, holy cow, might come from that very concept that the Bible talks about when the priest killed that animal was a holy sacrifice. That's a common, ordinary lamb. It's a common, ordinary bull. And they kill it. And it becomes holy. How can dirt be holy? How can ordinary cows or sheep or even goats be thought of as being holy? The answer is found in the fact that there is a realization that holiness is defined by God, and that which is associated with God is holy. Do you know why you can be holy? is because God has taken us common, ordinary, like dirt, like goats, and by our association with holiness, God overlooks the mistakes that we repent of. And He sees us as a holy church, a holy priesthood, not having spot or wrinkle or blemish. Dan, you make mistakes? Absolutely. Oh, then you're not holy. Oh, yes, I am. Why? Because God takes ordinary people who are trying to serve Him and says, that is a holy person without spot, without blemish. Why? Because if we walk in the light as He is in the light, His blood cleanses us. Oh, I can get out and live in the world of darkness. I can live as an individual that is disobedient. I can be that individual that looks at the commandments of God and says, I don't care what God says about, and you fill in the blank there in your life, I don't care what He says about that, I'm still going to do what I want to do. That's rebellion. But here is that individual who, when he stumbles, and if he stumbles 7 times in a day, or 70 times 7 times in a day, and he's penitent, God will forgive him. I want you to know that when the God of heaven looks down, He sees holy people on this earth. I'm not talking about those people in this church that we look at and say, I wish I could be as good as they are. We've all known people like that, have we not? Our heroes. I wish I could be like they are in this way. I wish I could be like they are in that way. But God doesn't say you got to be as good as that person is. He says you got to be as good as you can be. And when that's your goal, He says you're holy. And it's because of His forgiveness that when God says to Dan, or when God says to you, you be holy, it's not because I have lived without mistakes. It is because I'm living, doing my very best to serve Him. And God says, that person is holy. He may regard himself as common dirt, as a goat. But God said the blood of Jesus has made him holy. Are you holy tonight? You can become holy if you'll obey the gospel, believing in Jesus, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith in Jesus and being immersed. He'll wash away your sins. And then He says, now you be faithful. You be trustworthy. You be that individual that's trying to go to heaven, and I will give you the crown of life. If you need to respond to the invitation, do so right now as together we stand and sing. Will you?